the deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lying deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
Hi, this is Joseph Thompson with Mad World Haunted Attraction in Piedmont, South Carolina, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey guys, this is Dave Harlequin from MonsterCon, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Todd Patton with Ruby Falls Haunted Cavern in Chattanooga, right here on The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Carter Owen out of Charlotte, North Carolina, with Carter Owen Designs. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is Sean Norman from the Wells Township Haunted House in Brilliant, Ohio, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Eric Land from Demon Dreams Haunted House out in Fairfield, California, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is Jody Zukowski
and Jennifer Vandersandy
from the Dominion of Terror in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, folks. This is Malachi Foley from Darkness Finds Haunted Trail in Anderson, South Carolina. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're traveling to another dimension, a dimension not only of fright and scare, but also of mind. A journey into a season of fear with Ari Lehman, the first Jason Voorhees. A monstrous shadow with Dave Harlequin from MonsterCon. A dimension of gore with Darkness Pines and Mad World, whose boundaries are that of the imagination. At the signpost up ahead, your next stop, The Big Scary Show.
It's the day after Halloween and you didn't get a chance to visit all the haunted houses you wanted to see. Now you have to wait 11 long months. Isn't there anything you can do? Of course there is! You can go on the legendary Haunt Tour! Join us in New England this November and experience three world-class haunted attractions for one low price, including Nightmare New England, Haunt Overload, and Fright Kingdom. Your ticket price includes tours of all the attractions and two evening parties. As a bonus, there will be an option to explore historic Salem, Massachusetts. For tickets, hotel information, and more, visit LegendaryHauntTour.com and we'll see you in November in New England.
The Legendary Haunt Tour is brought to you by Transworld and Netherworld Haunted House.
Hello everybody, Drew Badger here live, Greenville, South Carolina at MonsterCon, hanging out with all the cool kids. And you know, if you've been listening to this show since day one, you know we've had an awful lot of Jasons on our show. We've had Kane Hodder, we've had Ted White, we've had Tom Morga, we've had others, but there's only one first Jason out there, which technically, you know, technically makes you number one, right? The infamous Ari Lehman, first Jason, also with a band of the same name. Ari, how's MonsterCon treating you?
Oh, thank you, Drew. I want to say hi to all your listeners. This is a fantastic event here. MonsterCon in Greenville, South Carolina. It's a blast to be here. A lot of great people. They're doing a costume contest. And, you know, a lot of fans of Friday the 13th. We're very excited, Drew, because next year, 2015, we've got two new installations for Friday the 13th coming up.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
That I was not... I knew it would be the 35th anniversary, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Good. 35, man. It's been a long time, but, you know.
So what are the
I'm forever young.
There you go. What are the new Friday the 13th things coming out? I'm unaware of this.
It's fantastic. We've got a feature film coming up, which will be produced by Paramount Pictures, and it will be released in November of 2015. And we've also got a TV series coming in 2015, and they've both been confirmed.
This is not in relation to, like, that old 80s Friday the 13th TV show that really wasn't that great.
Everybody asks that. No, this one is related to, actually, the Crystal Lake Memories people are the ones who are doing the TV series, and they're fantastic, and they are going to be, hopefully, investigating the history of Jason, you know, his past, his backstory, if you will. Who is Jason Voorhees? How did he become this indestructible monster?
That's a really cool concept. I'd never really thought about that because, you know, everybody knows he's some sort of something and not really sure exactly what he is. Is he a demon? Is he an immortal? Is he a monster? Is he the devil? What is he?
Is Jason having an identity crisis, Drew Badger? The question is plaguing many people. I mean, it's a philosophical question about one of the most important myths and legends of the American, you know,
cinematic history.
Yes.
Well, you know, it is going to be the 35th anniversary. Maybe he's just going through a middle age crisis. Buying a Harley, hanging out with a bunch of 20-year-old chippies, you know.
Yes. It's his Jason's midlife crisis. There's the name for the movie.
There you
right
go.
Right there, you know. Well, I mean, you do
Jason
notice.
Buys a convertible.
Oh, that's that. Yes. Well, you know, in the last one, you noticed he was faster. He was smarter. He was clever. I think maybe he was doing like some, you know, he has a personal trainer or something, you know. Maybe he was going to classes.
Maybe he was studying up online and taking lots of jiu-jitsu and all sorts of weird stuff.
Yes, that's right. Jason does yoga now.
to help his sciatic nerve or something.
Absolutely.
So what's going on with First Jason? I mean, you played a show here at a pre-party on Thursday. Had a good attendance with that. And lots of good music on that. New CD out, I understand.
Yes. The new CD is out. It's called Heed My Warning. And it's got a lot of great new songs on it. And we're very excited. It's been critically acclaimed. We're just been touring around quite a bit. First Jason was featured at Housecore Festival in Austin last year, where we opened for Gwar and Down and
nice.
Phil Anselmo and the Illegals and that whole crew. So we were stoked about that.
And I assume you've got another upcoming tour before the end of the year in support of the new album?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're constantly on tour, you know. Here we are. We just played in Spartanburg. Soon we're going to be playing in Pensacola, Florida. We're getting ready for Pensacola Paracon that's coming up.
Sure.
Yeah, we're stoked about that. That's a great event, too. Yeah. So, you know, just keep your eye out for First Jason and come and check us out.
So how can people check you out if you have websites, social media, and all that good stuff?
Oh, absolutely, Drew. Just come visit us at firstjason.com or check out First Jason Official on Facebook.
First Jason Official on Facebook. I've actually chatted with you on Facebook because you do tend to answer everything that people talk to you about.
Yeah.
And
well, it's important, man.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know,
you got to keep in touch with the fans.
Well,
they're the reason you're here.
No doubt. Friday the 13th in particular is such a fan interactive series. And I think that, you know, if it wasn't for the fans, as you say, Jason never would be reborn. Jason never dies because of the fans.
There you go. Once again, Ari Lehman, a great pleasure to have you here on The Big Scary Show again. We chatted about a year and a half ago. Glad to hear things are going well. The new CD seems to be going well for First Jason. Lots of good merchandise. A new serrated edge machete is on your plate now that you're selling, as opposed to the old standard machetes, I guess. Yeah. But once again, Drew Badger here live at MonsterCon, checking out all the cool stuff. And we are out.
The Creepazoids, Dead by Dawn, on The Big Scary Show.
Attending all the guards, the guys marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start out with some sad news from the world of haunting. We're sad to announce that haunter Jackie Kuehling of Eagle Hollow Haunts outside of Lincoln, Nebraska, has passed away at the much too young age of 24. She rose from actor to costumer and trainer at Eagle Hollow Haunts and was on the board of the Lincoln, Nebraska Zombie Fest, as well as running their costume contest for the past 4 years. The Big Scary Show sends their deepest condolences to the family and friends of Jackie Kuehling and Eagle Hollow Haunts, and offers up this moment of silence. We have this news from the Dark Domain Haunted Attraction in Cranberry, Pennsylvania. The frightening folks at the Dark Domain are hard at work to bring you an unforgettable haunt experience this Halloween season. Check out our storefront display, which is still a work in progress, at the Cranberry Mall. Naturally, it'll be darker inside. Couldn't really call ourselves Dark Domain all lit up like that now, could we? And now, they want you to know that they have put their all-new website up online for you to get all the news and information you need. Be sure to check them out at www.darkdomainhauntedhouse.com. We have this news from the Forbidden Realm Haunted Attraction in Syracuse, New York. We are pleased to announce the first maze of the 2014 season, Macabre Manor. During the 19th century, this eerie manor was known for being the centerpiece of many murders and mysterious cases of missing families. The ghosts of these past families now lurk the halls of this deadly house. As you venture through the rooms and corridors of this ghastly manor, you will be forced to come face to face with these sinister spirits and ghouls. Throughout your journey, you will come across the darkest and deepest depths of this forsaken place. This will be an experience you will never forget. That is, if you make it out alive. For more information on the Forbidden Realm Haunted Attraction, visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/TheForbiddenRealm. We have this news from Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare. Rob Zombie has previously announced that his Great American Nightmare Halloween Horror Attraction will take place in Scottsdale, Arizona in 2014, but now that's not the only location. The rocker-slash-director has just revealed that he'll bring his nightmare to the Midwest, setting up shop at the Odeum Expo in Villa Park, Illinois, just outside Chicago. I am thrilled to be able to expand the Great American Nightmare to two new cities this year, says Zombie. My only goal is to make it twice as sick as last year. As with the Arizona location, the primary attractions at the Illinois Fest will be the three haunted houses that are based on Rob Zombie's films. Great American Nightmare producer Steve Kopelman says, Chicago is a haunted house hotbed, with the Odeum Expo Center being the go-to haunted house venue for the past two decades. We really feel the Midwest will welcome this event with open arms, and this will be the ultimate Chicagoland Halloween event. Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare will run from September 26th to November 1st at the Odeum Expo in Villa Park, and Zombie himself will open this year's festivities with a concert. There will also be an assortment of other attractions besides the haunted houses, including the Bloody Boulevard Thoroughfare. The September 26th opening, which features the Rob Zombie concert, has tickets starting at only $45. For all ticketing, including VIP packages and other information, check out the Great American Nightmare website at greatamericannightmare.com. We have this bit of news on pumpkin teeth. Hi, Bob Connor here, and I would love to offer you pumpkin teeth for $1 wholesale, or get a free pack of bloody fangs with any retail order. Use them as awesome decorations on your hayrides, haunted house, or pumpkin patch. They're also great impulse items in your gift shops. They're low cost and really make a difference in your pumpkins, gourds, squashes, etc. Call me, Bob Connor, the inventor of pumpkin teeth, for more information at 608-824-0765 or visit buypumpkinteeth.com. We're also on Etsy. We have a lot of hiring news from a lot of haunts around the country, so here they are. We got this hiring news from the Scare House in Pittsburgh. Get paid to scare people. The Scare House, ranked as one of America's scariest haunted houses by the Travel Channel, employs a fully paid and adult staff of nearly 150. This includes managers, actors, makeup artists, box office, and customer service positions. You must be at least 18 years old to apply for these paid positions. These jobs are demanding and fun. Many people return year after year to join our Scare House Scream team, and you can too. To get more information or to apply, visit www.scarehouse.com. We have this hiring news from the Taman Graveyard in Midlothian, Texas. The Taman Graveyard is looking for a few good ghouls. If you've always wanted to scare the crap out of people for fun without the fear of going to jail, then you have found your new home. Have you worked in a haunt before but don't currently have a haunt to call home? Give us a shout. Do you randomly hide in closets or around corners waiting to scare people because you think it's funny? We want to hear from you. Send us an email at tamangraveyard@gmail.com with your name, phone number, age, previous experience, and any other info you'd like us to consider. We're dying to hear from you. For more information, visit their Facebook page at facebook.com/tamangraveyard. That's spelled T-A-Y-M-A-N. We also have this hiring news from the Psycho Ward Haunted House in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Our haunt park is hiring for all of our attractions. Anyone interested in employment for the 2014 season, apply at hauntpark.com under employment. All past employees will also need to fill out an application so we have everyone's availability and contact information. All applications are due by August 15th. For more information, you can go to hauntpark.com or their Facebook page at facebook.com/psychoward.hauntedhouse. We have even more hiring information from the Necromanor Haunted Attraction in Bossier City, Louisiana. It's almost time for Necromanor's casting calls. Here's the schedule for interviews. August 9th and 10th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. August 23rd and 24th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And August 30th and 31st, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Even if you worked for us at Ultimate Fear, you will still need to come to the interviews if you want to work. Construction on the attraction is ongoing, so we please ask that you wear closed-toed shoes and leave any small children at home. To get more information, go to facebook.com/necromanor. And we have this hiring news from the Evil Twin Studios in South Pasadena, California. Are you interested in volunteering for Evil Twin Studios Scare Crew? Our 2014 haunted house, the Raymond Hill Mortuary, will take place at South Pasadena's Fremont Center Theater on select dates in October and November. Proceeds from the haunt will benefit the South Pasadena Educational Foundation. Evil Twin Studios' annual haunted house is a success thanks to the hard work and dedication by our volunteer scare actors. As an important member of the cast, you will be expected to show up at established call times and be in character in a haunt scene for at least 4 hours a night. We request that you volunteer for a minimum of 3 haunt nights, and priority will be given to actors who can commit to all 7 haunt nights. This is a great opportunity to have a lot of fun scaring the pants off of people while supporting an awesome community. If you have any questions, contact us at ets.eviltwinstudios@gmail.com or visit our website at www.eviltwinstudios.com. And finally, we have some sad news from Creepy Woods Haunted Attraction in Kingsville, Maryland. Attention all valued Creepy Woods guests and supporters. Due to circumstances beyond our control, Creepy Woods will no longer be in operation at Huber's Jones Farm or for the 2014 season. We are looking for new locations and opportunities for the future for creating an even bigger and better multi-venue Scream Park for us to grow with. We would like to take this time to say thank you and to tell you we appreciate your support and interest over our last 6 years of operation. It is because of you that we do this, as entertaining as our guests and offering you a quality Halloween attraction right here in Maryland has always been our main focus and mission statement. In those 6 years, and with your support, Creepy Woods Haunted Forest was able to reach heights on an unprecedented scale, with creative theming, film-quality costumes and sets, and being featured on national television 3 times, as well as being rated one of the best and scariest haunted attractions in the country. It is a testament to how, together, lofty goals can be achieved. As unfortunate as it is that Creepy Woods is closed for this year, it is by no means the end. Our amazing and loyal staff and cast, as well as ownership and management, are committed to reinventing this attraction and finding the right location that will enable us to offer you a larger, scarier, world-class event. Look for news and updates as they develop, and rest assured that when Creepy Woods makes its inevitable and triumphant return, you will be among the first to know and take the journey with us step by step, year after year. But until that announcement is made, we invite you all to experience the revamped and reloaded Bennett's Curse Haunted House in Jessup, Maryland. There's only one haunt in Maryland more celebrated, more honored, and more legendary than Creepy Woods, and that is Bennett's Curse. So we hope to see you there this fall. Thank you for a great 6 years, and we'll be back again to haunt you. Sincerely, the Creepy Woods Management. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. And ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the show where hopefully, if you've been listening, we're going to give away a great prize courtesy of Screamline Studios. Yes, that's right. It is time for the August edition of the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. Please go to their website, screamlinestudios.com. Check out all their cool stuff, because you might just be winning something that's on their website. You know how this works. We are asking you a question, and the answer is in this show. So listen carefully and send in that answer along with your name and your number, phone number that is, to contest@bigscaryshow.com before midnight, August 18th, and you may be randomly selected, and you could be a winner. So without further ado, the August edition of the Gruesome Giveaways question is... name at least one new thing coming to the Mad World Haunted Attraction this season. If you think you know that answer, send us your name and number to contest@bigscaryshow.com before midnight, August 18th, and you could be randomly selected. Thank you again to Screamline Studios for providing us some great gifts to give away to you here on the Gruesome Giveaway and the Big Scary Show. Good luck!
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions, www.voncaron.com. That's VonCharon, Von Caron Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
Hi everyone, Drew Badger here live, Greenville, South Carolina, here at MonsterCon, interviewing all the cool kids, the celebrities, the vendors, and of course, anytime you go to one of these cons, usually there's a haunted house or two attached to it. There's one over here, I can see it from where I'm standing. It's covered in red gore, blood, guts, lots and lots of really yucky, disgusting, excuse me here. It's Darkness Pines in the Electric City, Anderson, South Carolina. I got Jason, the owner here. Jason, how you doing?
Doing good, Drew. Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about Darkness Pines. I'm guessing just by looking at the booth that you have some sort of really high gore factor going on there.
Well, Drew, actually, it's pretty clean. We're almost. It's like walking through a white room at Disney. I'm just kidding. It is.
I was gonna say that's irony right there.
I'm a huge horror fan first. And I'm a huge Haunter fan second. I love all haunted attractions. I love Halloween. I have some land in my family, and I decided to start one some years back. And, man, I love it. I wished it was year-round all the time.
Don't we all.
Don't we all. But, Yeah, Darkness Pines is it sits on about 11 acres. We have a storytelling hayride. We also have the haunted trail you walk through, which we change the theme yearly. This year's theme is purgatory, and the Foley family, which is our main characters, we created our own original cast of characters. It's time for them to be punished for all the misdeeds they've done. So hell itself has sent forth some bounty hunters to bring war upon the family.
Ooh.
And of course, with the war comes the gore. So we're really amping it up this year and hoping to get some some good frights and some good nasty grocery actions out there.
With the war comes the gore. That's a great theme. You should put that on t-shirts or something.
Well, we actually might. I was thinking about it.
I'll send you a bill for consulting.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, I figured I'd get
charged. We'll talk royalties later.
But yeah, we love doing it. Our hayride lasts about 10 minutes. It's a short one, but it's a storytelling hayride. There's no scares on it, so it's appropriate for all ages. Our trail itself, it runs from 18 to 23 minutes, depending on our crowds, depending on our group size, which we try not to do any more than 8 if we can help it, but it's hard. It is a guided tour. Our guides are A-plus character actors, and they're really good at delivering information while staying in character and just making it entertaining.
Excellent. Now, I understand you have something a little bit, shall we say, darker and more sinister also lurking in Darkness Pines.
That's very true. We have an extreme tour, and with the extreme tour, it is 18 or older only. You must sign a waiver. You must be in the right state of mind. You can't have enjoyed any beverages before doing this thing. It's got to be 100% in your right mind. We videotape you. We take you in, and we do have some events that are pretty extreme.
No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. I'll give you a couple from last year,
events.
We have one. Well, first we bind you up. We bind you up, and we send you in there. Last year we did expose you to some furry little friends with tails.
Lovely.
Yeah, this year we're thinking about going more maybe on the insect world, and that's all I'm going to say on that.
Oh, joy. So,
but you bet if you do show up, you better not come in the nice white clothes and the brand new shoes and the nice hats. You better wear, or if you're coming for the extreme tour, which you don't just show up and say, hey, I'm going to do the extreme tour. It's usually something that you plan for.
You got to get in that right frame.
Yes, you'll get bloody, you'll get dirty, you will just be gored out when you come out.
Now, that's not included as part of Darkness Pines. That's a separate event.
Yes.
There's an upcharge and all that.
Yeah, it is. There's an upcharge for the extreme tour. Our regular haunt is $12 for the storytelling hayride, the trail, and the Monster Museum. And the Monster Museum is basically a sideshow attraction where I have been to all these conventions all over the United States. I have met tons of celebrities. I've gotten some of the weirdest little things you'll ever see, and I put those out there on display for
nice.
People to see.
Very nice.
the extreme tour is separate from that. It is an upcharge on it, and our hours for that are 11 to 2 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays.
Oh, so it's even after hours, so
yes.
You can't come early and go on it.
Yes.
Very
yes.
Cool. For people wanting more information about Darkness Pines, I know you're in Anderson, which is not too far, kind of halfway between, say, Spartanburg and Atlanta, just kind of across the border there, Georgia-South Carolina line, right off 85. How can they get information if they're traveling through the area? Maybe see a website, social media, anything like that. Ticket information and all.
Okay, we have we have www.darknesspines.com, and you can go on there. You can get all your information. We also have our Facebook, which is Darkness Pines. Give us a like on Facebook. We pump stuff out all the time. Some of it's some strange stuff, and you'll be saying, who are these guys, and
thanks.
What do they do?
I would expect no less from people in the Anderson area, having traveled through there many times. So once again, Jason Erskine, a pleasure to have you here on The Big Scary Show. Be sure to go out to darknesspines.com for all your cool and, let's just say, gory and extreme haunting needs this Halloween season. Once again, here at MonsterCon for The Big Scary Show, I'm Drew Badger, and we are out.
Silent Horror, Evil Dead on The Big Scary Show.
What evil hides behind this wall? I just don't know. Well, I've been eating around. I don't want to know. Strange message from long ago. With the words to raise the dead.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is The Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
All right. So this week I saw an article from the local Boston Market area talking about the most popular pet name up here. And the most popular pet name in the Boston area is Fenway. That's right, after the baseball stadium. And I'm like, this can't be true. This, yeah, you're kidding me. This, we're just pulling this up. We're pulling something. But no, sure enough, you know, it was on a Facebook page for a local media outlet, and they talked about, oh, what other animals do you have named after the team, and posted pictures. And sure enough, people are posting tons of pictures of their dogs, Fenway, Remy, Jerry Remy, former player and current announcer for the Red Sox, Manny, I mean, just all these sports names thing. I'm like, really? This is how uncreative we are? We're just naming pets? And I mean, yeah, I'm a big brutish sports player, you know, Teddy Bruschi, big defensive guy and stuff, and people are naming their little Shih Tzu after them, and spelling the name wrong, which is absolutely hilarious. But it got me to thinking, what are Haunters and our customers naming their pets? Now, seriously, I'm a little confused, and, you know, me, pet names, I usually like to go with obscure ancient gods, because, well, if they were ever real, it'd probably piss them off that I've named the goldfish after them. But what are you naming your pets? And so I'm putting a challenge out there, a two-part challenge. First part is, you know, you gotta remember, these sports people, they're your customer base. They're people who are showing up to your haunt. So, your goal is to get one of them to be so freaked out, so impacted by your character this year, that they name a pet after it. Come on, you know you can do some freaky stuff to try and get people to name their pets after your character. Secondly, time to go out there. You're listening to the show right now on the internet. Hit up the Facebook page, hit up our social media, tell us what your pet names are, because, well, we want to know what Haunter pet names are. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
Gentlemen, it is, of course, that time of the show. You've heard the music. You know what that means. It, of course, means it's time for the Round Table of Terror. Over the last couple of weeks and shows, we've been talking a little bit of good aspects of haunted houses. We've talked acting, we've talked music, and now we're talking about something we've promised ourselves we would one day get to, and today is that day. Set designs, you know. Outside of maybe acting, it's probably the most important part of a haunt. You know, a good set can make or break a haunt, and has with haunts all over the country. A lot of haunts keep their same themes for year after year. A lot of them change out every year, and that's got to be kind of interesting and complicated how to do it. So we put the word out for a few people who wanted to talk about set designs and retheming and working on your haunts in that aspect. Had a bunch of responses, and we got a few people on the line as guests. in no particular order. We'll start with Eric Land, who I believe is with Demon Dreams Haunted Attraction out in Fairfield, California, way out on the West Coast. Eric, are you with us?
Yes, I am here.
Very glad to have you here. We also have Jody Zakowski and Jenna Vandersandy from Dominion of Terror in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, kind of the middle of the country. Are you with us, ladies?
We are here. Yes, sir.
Great to have you here. Kind of working more towards the East Coast, Sean Norman from Wells Township Haunted House. We've had your wife on the show, but I don't think we've ever had you on the show. Sean, are you here?
I'm here, Drew. Badger, thanks for having me, man.
Great to have you as well. All three of you are haunted house owners, but we have a set designer as well, somebody who helps haunted houses with their themes, Mr. Carter Owen, down in my hometown, Charlotte, North Carolina. Carter, are you with us?
Yes, sir, Drew. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Great to hear from you again, my friend, as well as our four co-hosts, including Storm.
Greetings and broadcasting from Amney Island for Shark Week.
Nice. The Unknown Scare Actor.
I'm working on some set design on my new costume.
We'll get into that, I'm sure. When he's not hanging around with 80s guitar legends, we have him here, the Haunstrom medalist, Jerry Vane.
I'm just drinking a beer.
And reminiscing about your meeting with George Lynch, no doubt. My name is Drew Badger in Charlotte, North Carolina. My birthday is this week, so send gifts. We're talking set designs, everybody. I'm going to put this question out to the haunted house owners who are out there, Eric, Jody, Jenna, Sean. You talk about this is the year you're retheming. Some of you retheme every year. One of you is retheming this year for the first time. What made you decide that you are going to basically redo your haunt from scratch this year or any year?
Well, this is Eric. Eric out of Demon Dreams. I guess my main focus is our biggest problem is we always change location every year, but we've always kept the same theme, which has been a typical regular house themed haunt. You know, we do all the furniture and put the fireplace and all that stuff in. But we compete with some of the bigger haunts in the area that offer four or five, you know, six attractions at their location, and we only do the one attraction. So we're just trying to change it up. We're still getting our name out there, and we figured if we change our theme a little bit, just try to switch it up a little bit. So,
Jody, how about you? You've been around for 40 years, and you change every year. Why do you do that?
All right. This is actually Jenna.
Jenna.
Well, yeah, this is our 40th year, and we've changed our theme every year. Usually what we do is we take groups of rooms that have the same common theme, and we group them together and then use hallways as buffers. We're pretty well known in our demographic, you know, with over 10 haunts and 60 miles, so we do it just to stay on top of our game. We have plenty of great ideas, and we figure why not build them and make them come to life.
Sean?
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I first started in this business, if you will, we didn't know no better. So we changed every year. And over the years, that just kind of become the constant. We have a meeting early on in the season, and we pretty much open it up to our entire staff, which is about 170 people. And just, what do you got? What ideas do you have? And let's see if we can make them work. And then as a group, we decide which ones we're going to go with. And, you know, we switch out pretty much, you know, 95-99% of the house each year. Like the other guy said, it keeps you on your game, but we don't know no better. And it's fun, you know, we're enjoying it. We've got tons of ideas, and we're already talking about what we're going to do next year. So it's a guided tour. It's not a walkthrough, so we're a little bit different on how we've got to set up those scares. So the same thing is not going to work over and over again. We just want to keep it fresh.
So basically, if you miss going to your haunts this year, you're out of luck because it'll be completely different next year.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, there's a few things that that stay, but by and large, all of the rooms, if you will, are changed out to reflect a different theme. And sometimes, more often than not, that's complete deconstruction down to the studs and bring it back up because we're moving. You know, the entrance is going to be moved, the exit's going to be moved. Something's falling from the ceiling or coming up out of the ground that wasn't there last year, so we got to accommodate that and the airlines and all that stuff.
Carter, I'll throw this out to you. As somebody who has designed sets for various haunted houses and things, do people basically come to you with an idea, or do they say, you know, I've got 25,000 square feet, I have no idea what to do with it, or does somebody have a partial idea? Do people ever give you just free rein? How has that worked for you?
Well, I tell you, it's the whole gamut, really. You know, you can get someone who has some idea that they think will work for what they have, and, you know, if they have no experience in the industry at all, generally speaking, their theme or idea can, you know, from a design standpoint, can end up causing them more problems and cost more money than how cool they thought the idea was. So a lot of the times it's a lot of working together mutually to come to something that a client of mine or an owner would like, you know, like their wallet would like, and what I could actually, you know, do for them in a reasonable amount of time. And you know, just hearing from everybody, I love to hear redesign every year. It's you know, maybe it's just my heart as a designer, but I think every haunted house should basically change at least the vast majority of their haunt every year. I tell you, the haunts around here are just awful about that. There's one I went to last year. It's even a campground type of deal, and it's the same as something as I went to 10 years ago. Very few things are different, and it just grows boring to me.
Have any of you haunt owners ever worked with a set designer, or have you basically worked in-house with your teams or your own twisted minds to come up with the themes for your various things?
This is Joel.
Sean, and for me, it's both. We always take somebody's ideas or advice. So we're pretty much in-house with everything, but make no mistake about it, we don't have a problem with we've even opened it up to our fans. You know, what do you want to see? And based on their responses, we take a few of them and sneak some of their elements into the ideas. But, we do most of it in-house, but we take all the advice we can get on how we think we could do it better. Plus, that's part of it, too, is what we do one year, we're going to, you know, we learn, you know, it starts to generate the ideas for what you can do next year, and you start realizing the things that you can actually do that helps out, too. So that's part of the retheming also, because we just, you know, we did this and learned so much from it and can expand upon that.
Jody, I thought I heard you say something.
Yes, actually. Basically, we have an elite group of people who build the rooms year after year. We always do everything in-house. We have people come forward with ideas, whether they're going to build the rooms or not, and then it goes towards or goes to another committee of about three or four people who make the decisions, yes or no, are they good ideas, will they work? And once the committee okays it, then we have the people in-house build them up.
Eric?
No, I've never had the opportunity to work with a set designer. But, I mean, I guess what – I mean, in a way, I'm seeing what you guys are talking about as far as I'm assuming, like, Jody and Jenna and Sean, you guys have your permanent buildings. So you guys are able to move your walls around if you need to here and there. As for me, like, I got to rebuild my haunt every single year, and also every single year it's in a different location. So I guess in a way my haunt has changed over the last 3 years, because my first location, we had a 5,000-square-foot building that we were able to squeeze into last minute. And then the second year we got ourselves into a 40,000-square-foot building, and we had to, you know, we got more walls and we were able to build bigger sets. And then last year we were scrambling trying to find another location, and we got into a 2,000-square-foot building, so really dramatically had downscale our haunt. So our haunt has changed in that way as far as our layouts, but it's always been the one theme. But like I said, this year we're going with a totally different theme, so all new paint scheme and all new props and things like that. But we've never had the opportunity to talk with a set designer or nothing like that. It's always basically, hey, here's our building, this is what we got, and then we just kind of lay out our floor plan from there once we find out, you know, where we're going to move to. So
how much of that, Eric, have you ever done, like, customer surveys, like the others have mentioned? You know, if someone comes up to you and says, I love your haunt, but I think, you know, if you just added this next year, it'd be even better type thing? Or
we've done that. We've done exit polls where we've had somebody on the outside when they exit out and say, hey, what was your favorite scare? What was something that you think that we can improve upon? We've asked those kind of questions, and then we take that going forward in the following year, either take some scares out that we felt weren't working at all, and or we just expand upon something that we're doing really well. We'll just try to, you know, add an effect more to that. So our biggest downplay is I'm really bad with pneumatics. I've never really dwelled into that too much, and this is our first year that we're kind of getting into that. We're pretty much very strictly an actor driven haunt. So and also a big part of us is I'm ex-military, so a lot of our volunteers that come out and help us out are military,
and they help us out 1 year, and then boom, they're either in Afghanistan the next year, or they've moved on to North Carolina or some other place. And so we always have a replenish our crew every year too. So
yeah, our bases here do tend to steal all you guys out from the West Coast. Sorry about that. Lejeune and Bragg, damn them.
I got a question for all of you, and then we'll start with the ladies first. Have you guys done any redesigns that wound up costing so much that you've had to scrap the plans and just at the last minute?
A lot of our ideas, actually, we make from scratch, basically. We have a lot of – we go to the local scrap metal places, and they give us a lot of free things. But, no, normally – everything that we plan out, if it, you know, we kind of go with the flow. If it gets a little too pricey towards the end, we kind of change it up at the end and hope for the best.
Okay. How about Eric?
The only thing I can say in that ballpark is when we were in our biggest location, that 30,000 square feet, we actually added a second haunt attraction and spent all the money for that. And then the next year when we only can get like a, you know, 2,000 square, we totally had to just shutter that whole attraction and it had to just sit in storage. So we're hoping to, you know, get to utilize that this year, but you know, who knows? So
I personally don't own a haunt. It is one a dream of mine, of course. But from what I understand, from my standpoint of building things, it's one of the primary focuses that I start with when I sit down with a client. One of the first questions out of my mouth is, what's your budget? You know, whether it be a room or an entire haunt or what have you, and let that be what drives how many pneumatics, how many props, and what types of props that I design and build for them, or whether I can even build it for them if they're just going to be designed. So I think it's definitely a key factor. And just like Jody and Jenna, most times if I'm in there actually building it for them, that's what happens to me. If it starts to get a little out of hand or something didn't go quite as planned or didn't work the way you wanted it to or envisioned, generally when that happens, you just got to roll with the punches. You know, we're a creative bunch of people, and in order to do haunted houses, you really have to have that in your blood. So if you can't roll with the punches, your business is probably going to fail.
Okay. Sean, what about you?
I tell you, by and large, we have a pretty good concept starting out. We have an idea where we're going with it. You know, we have our place has alternate endings with the what's known as the Dinkus 5000. That's made from scratch, from the ground up, straight out of our brains, and probably just as much was spent on it making mistakes as it was for the finished product. You know, you put it together and you try it, it didn't work, and we got to, you know, refigure it out. And so that one hurt us a bit. But the other ending is basically a simulator. It's a room built within a room, and that concept went from the concept to reality, and it pretty much stayed on budget. But I don't think we've ever got to a point where we started on something and ended up scrapping it because it just went too far over budget, or we just went too much into it. But usually by the time we realize we really screwed up, we got too much time and money already invested into it. We got to see it through to the end. So that's where we stand on.
Well, I just want to remind everybody listening, you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. We're going to take a very brief pause to pay some bills and give you some very important messages. We're talking set design with Sean Norman, Jody Zakowski, Jenna Vandersandy, Eric Land, and Carter Owen, along with the Forga hosts. We'll be right back.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best-rated zombie props 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com, along with the scary creepy clown props, the frozen meat locker props, the deadly doll props, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. creepycollection.com, the online source for all your pro-haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find creepy collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks, to movie production, and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
And we're back to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show, talking set designs, retheming, and all the cool things that make haunted houses different year after year with Sean Norman, Wells Township Haunted House, Brilliant, Ohio, Carter Owen in Charlotte, North Carolina, set designer extraordinaire, Jody Zakowski, Jenna Vandersandy, Sheboygan, Wisconsin with the Dominion of Terror, and Eric Land way out in Fairfield, California with Demon Dreams Haunted Attraction. We were talking a few seconds ago about set designs that may have gone over budget, if that you may have had to scrap or something like that, but maybe a little follow-up question to it is, have you come across or spent a year or 6 months redesigning a room or a haunt, and the paying customers just basically hated it? And if so, how did you handle that? Were you able to make changes during the season, or was it just one of those, well, we'll do better next year kind of things? Let's start with the ladies.
Well, I've been racking my brain trying to figure out. A lot of our rooms, we switch up the actors a lot. The set design is usually pretty well solid. We make sure they have hiding spots. We make sure they have jump scares. We make sure that there's an easy exit and entrance for any actors or patrons. We find if the room isn't working, we change up how the actor's doing it. Our set design is, I hate to sound, you know, arrogant, but I'm pretty satisfied with what our sets look like, and we just switch up the actors or maybe a prop or two or a sound. So I don't know if that really helps anything, but that's what we do.
I don't know a single person in Wisconsin that would describe themselves as arrogant, so don't think of yourself that way. So that's a good question, and you know, I've worked as an actor too, and have been moved to different rooms when certain things worked and certain things didn't work with actors. So I totally understand that. How about
troublemaker?
Yes, I am. How about you, Sean?
You know, we usually the room, the theme of the room is done in enough time that if nothing else, we can run it by our own people and make any tweaks. But you know, we've come across that where, I mean, well, one room in particular, I remember a few years back where we thought it was going to be so good that our own people left their rooms to watch it in action, and we kind of looked like the Three Stooges with one head above the other going all the way up the wall to watch this thing. And when the scare happened, it was dead, and we were just couldn't believe it. So, but big mistake. If we're in the house and something's not right, most times you can, you know, the actor can pretty much make the room, but we've changed out a room and threw something up quick in the middle of accepting tours, just, you know, to make sure we're doing what we need to do. And then we correct the problem during, you know, the week before, you know, during the week, so we're ready to go with a new idea. But sometimes that happens, you know, the best idea, you know, it's going to be great. You put it out there and it doesn't work, or it's not working quite like you thought. And, you know, you can change some things, try and make that same room work just with a little bit of a tweak, but we're not afraid to scrap the whole idea right in the middle, like I said, right in the middle of accepting tours while we're open. We'll change it out. Wouldn't be the first time we had wet paint. The tours are coming through.
How about you, Eric? Have you ever had something just fall completely flat?
Nothing too, I wouldn't say flat, but we did have a humorous time in our first year, you know, open as a haunt. And we had tested this room prior to opening to the public, and everything worked fine. The actor was fine. I don't know, maybe it was just the way the circumstances worked out, but I was doing Well, I kept hearing about this one room, like, hey, this one room, man, I love this room. And, you know, we would hear it over the walls, you know, this is an interesting room or something like that. So I had to go find out, you know, what this person was doing. And we had this individual, the female, she was in one of those spandex-type suits, you know, full-body spandex. And so it was a blacklight room. So I walked in to see what she was doing, how she was scaring people. Well, I was shocked what I saw. The spandex suit, I mean, it glowed like it was supposed to, but she was wearing white undergarments, so those shone through the spandex. So you saw bright panties and bra, and we were like, oh, my God. So we had to, like, shut the room down and pull her out and had to send her home and to cover, you know, like, you need to wear dark undergarments in this outfit. And so that was our one big shocker that we had for a room. But otherwise, all the other rooms seem to be doing pretty well, so...
Now, Carter, I got to ask this, and I'm trying to be as sensitive as possible. have you ever designed a haunt or a room that the owner just absolutely hated and refused to implement? And how did you deal with that?
No, I haven't. I have had an absolutely terrible budget and basically got thrown in at the 11th hour and was really unable to, for one particular client, I was really unable to build it to what I would want. You know, I go in obviously wanting to please the customer first and foremost, but really, you know, I have to be okay with it myself, which is usually better than their standards. But at any rate, I wasn't able to get this particular section of the hunt where I wanted to be, and really had to go with like plan B for this based on their budget and time constraints, and even subcontractor work, having the helpers in there working that had no idea what they were doing. So that fell flat because it just didn't have the, not because of poor design or what have you. It was really, you know, I really had to tell him, you got to get your some key actors in here and we'll have to do something different. Other than that, the only other flub that I've ever had, I built a custom animatronic piece for a large haunted house, and it was one of the first big ones that I've ever made, you know, very large humanoid piece that, you know, split open and did it. It was the very first one, and I made the mistake of making a certain piece out of aluminum. And at the time, I used the strongest thing I could do, lightest thing. I thought I was doing it all correctly, tested it 1,000 times, but this haunted house, basically, with so much throughput, they killed the thing in 2 weeks. And so I basically had to make that right. But for the most part, most things go as designed. And as everybody's mentioned, it's kind of, you kind of go with the flow. You know, it's kind of a living creature, set design. It's never really static, and it should never be. It should always be breathing and moving, and should really go with what your customers say in your exit polls, and you know what your staff is saying that they're seeing the customers responding to and what they're not responding to. And you know, just like Sean mentioned, you know, sometimes you just got to rip it out or just tweak some things, you know, mid-season or in the first week or two, just to make sure that you've got a nice product.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That check better cash too, right? You better make sure they're happy with it.
So what I'm hearing from everyone is none of you have ever done fairy tales as a theme because it is the worst. Oh, failure, failure, failure. It'd take the whole show for me to explain the fairy tale incident at my haunt.
Has someone done that?
We did it on a walkthrough, and as last year, we even themed the walkthrough with any full theme. Man, we had to fix that thing. We were like, what the hell were we thinking? That's a story and a half over a couple beers. But a question I wanted to pose to everybody, especially, you know, we'll start off with Carter, and, you know, as a designer, probably fitting, you know, what's your preference in this, but what do you find is your favorite or most effective way of designing? Is it, I'm picking a theme and I'm going with it this year, you know, like we're doing Westerns this year, or is it, hey, this thing is popular, I heard a lot of Chupacabras in the news, let's do some Chupacabras. Ooh. Or, hey, I just bought this giant knee animatronic, this is what we should center around or go with, or a certain type of scare and the same type of thing. I want to do this scare, what kind of theme will it work with? So, Carter, what's, you know, when you got carte blanche on designing, what's your favorite and most successful, you know, influence?
Well, I have, you know, first of all, I have seen all of those methods used before. You know, someone goes to Transworld and just spends too much money on one piece, and they need to use that, and it needs to be key. But my personal preference, I think more of a some people, I've been made fun of, even when I did this in amateur haunts, you know, building in the front yard, I did it. I believe wholeheartedly in the psychology of scaring. It doesn't just start with you know, them buying a ticket. It doesn't just start with them getting a line and walking through that threshold to their first scare. I mean, it starts with your marketing. It starts with your location. It starts with the look of your building from the exterior. And me personally, in fact, right now I'm trying to plan and secure funding for my own personal haunt for 2015. And one of the things that I like to do best is really base it off of my location. You know, for example, if the building that I'm going to purchase or commandeer or squat in, whichever one I have, if it's a beautiful two-story, you know, dilapidated brick building in a shady area with other dilapidated buildings, you know, that gives me a really lovely lateral room with design and scenes, and that would be ideal, obviously. You know, you could put you could do prison, you could do hospital, you could do just about anything you wanted, and with that, gives you a little bit better design abilities, whereas someone who perhaps likes, you know, has a strip mall or size restraints and things like that. And so for me, it is about rolling with the punches. If what you have is a big, beautiful building that's scary to begin with, you know, then you can go about basing it off of your budget. You know, we have X amount of dollars. I don't have a whole lot of money to just go buying up or finding old, hard-to-find antique hospital stuff or what have you, and just going that way. So for me, it's a lot of atmospheric constrictions that I actually prefer to have work with to help shape the theme and get the ideas going. That's my preferred method. I just kind of meditate on it for weeks and months and really write it all down and basically go over it and whittle it down until it's a finely tuned product, and I build a three-dimensional model so that anyone building it, there's no questions, and any financiers can see it and walk through it in digital format. And that's generally how I like to go. It gives me the most time to work on the idea.
Fantastic. Yeah, environment is a key factor. I've seen haunts overthink things and try and do stuff when I'm like, you got some really spooky forests around you. Do something with that. What about you, Sean? What's the driving factor when you start from scratch on a design?
We don't have an overall theme, like, you know, as far as, you know, when you mentioned Western, like the whole house is a Western. Each room is different. You're going to walk from one room to the next, and it's going to be completely different. And based on our setup and the way we do it, we're able to get away with that. So we don't let one overall theme dictate what we do.
All right, but like when you go and do a certain room, is there a factor that you go, all right, that's why we're going to do this with this room, you know, and something that you find successful or have the most fun when you're going, yeah, we're going to do this year?
It's, you know, most of the ideas, I think, come from the previous year. You know, we just, you know, when, you know, a few years back when we first started doing pneumatics and cylinders, and by no means is that our scare. The actor, you know, somebody else said it's actor-driven, and that's definitely where we're at. We'll use the pneumatics or whatever, and we build them from, you know, from scratch. We'll let them assist, but usually it's just something that you learn from the previous year that you can't wait to get started on and see it happen. And we've got, you know, some people that have been around the industry for a long time, so collectively everybody just kind of starts, you know, from conception, you know, back in January when we start deciding what rooms we're going to do or what the theme is going to be for that room. There's many, many changes that will take place before we open, just based on someone coming in and saying, it's something as simple as, what if we moved the light over to that corner and shined it in this direction and made it green? You know, so it's tough to say.
That's awesome. And, yeah, that's a big factor. Nothing can help keep you excited through a long season by thinking what's going to work, especially for next season. Jenna and Jody, what about you guys? What's a driving factor when it's time to theme and design for you?
All right, well, first I have to say, this is Jenna. Last year we actually did our first ever all-themed house, and it was Space and Wheels. But I have to say that it was our most successful year as a haunt. And if you went through our house and didn't know and see our advertising that it was Nursery Rhymes of Terror, you wouldn't have known. The characters weren't the normal characters in the story. The sets look completely different. It was a twisted version. So I just want to put that out there. Not that I'm, you know, shooting my own horn or anything. But anyways, when we look at rooms, we are so sporadic. You know, there's props. If we have a favorite prop that we've bought at the store, we might base it off of that. Or off of movies. The things we found, though, you can't base it off of movies because people are going to always find the discrepancies. So we do it like a genre. Like you mentioned, Hostel or a Saw. We'll do a batch of rooms off of that. We try to, you know, whatever the room builder wants to build. You know, maybe they had a nightmare and they can put that into a room idea. We find that pretty interesting.
We also try to avoid all the common themes that people are seeing every year. You know, zombies are really big. So we don't try to do our whole house of zombies or our whole house of clowns. So we might sprinkle a little bit of zombies in here or there. We just try to create different realistic scenes. Like, for example, some of our best rooms have been, what we built a movie theater one year. We went to an old closed down movie theater, took all their seats, the screen, all the carpeting, the garbage cans. We created our own movie theater. We try to pick out different buildings and places that are normally pretty normal and non-scary and twist it and turn it and make it into something horrific and awesome. Another one of our greatest rooms was, went to an old barn that basically fell down. We took all the barn boards, truckload after truckload, and we built an actual barn inside our haunt. All the walls were made of the barn boards, and we had all the old tools and things in it. So we try to create specific rooms and buildings and things that you see outside
and put our own twist on it and make everything look as real as possible using props and such.
Fantastic. You know you got haunting in your blood when you see, you know, hey, that pile of wood, that's going to be something really scary this year. Eric, what about you with your challenges and everything? What drives your design and you've had the most success with and gets you, you know, the most fired up for a season for theming?
Well, we've always done exit polls every year just to find out what scare is scaring people and what's not so we can figure out what to change for the following year. And obviously the clown seems to be the most popular answer we get is what we know what scares people because we don't really have clowns in our haunt. So we did kind of add a second side small clown maze thing that we did. Unfortunately, we couldn't use it our following year because our location was too small. But we did find that our number three or number two answer was people like saying, hey, we love hospitals. So hospitals scare you. So that's kind of what's drawn us to, you know, our theme this year. We have found a creative way to add our clown kind of attraction into the hospital theme, you know, if we go that way this year. So that's how we've always kind of driven our way or find out what's going to be scary to people is we just ask them like, hey, what else would scare you guys? I mean, we're doing a house thing, you know? And so that's what's kind of driving us this year. But I mean, the funniest part about, you know, when we talk about set design, I mean, our number one scare in our haunt for the last 2 years in a row has been a completely dark room. I mean, there's been nothing painted. That's just strictly a black room. And we do hang certain objects, you know, something that's not going to harm anybody walking through it. But it's a completely dark room. We hang objects off the ceiling that they feel and touch. And that's our number one scare is that's just a totally dark room. That just freaks people out when they go through it. So.
Now, I've got a question for all of our guests. And this is more along a personal line. We all get inspiration from different types of horror movies or books or whatnot. What is it that just, if you make the decision to go with this subgenre of horror, be it clowns or aliens or even some of the more obscure ones, like I think the ladies like to try to use something that's not quite common, but what is that type of subgenre on a personal level that really just gets you kind of giddy when you think about putting it in your haunt? And let's start with Eric.
Honestly, I can't think of anything as far as a genre or a horror film that pumps in my mind. I mean, you got me stumped on this one. I just sit with, you know, some friends and we talk about, you know, what scares us, and then we just try to make that happen. I'm curious. I would love to hear what some of the other haunt owners have to say about this.
Okay, I was going to direct it towards Jenna and Jody.
I think both of us have a different opinion. If it was up to me, and this is Jody, I like the gore, I like the blood and guts, I like the torture chambers, things like that. That's my favorite. All the hostile movies, you know, the movies that are very gory and bloody and full of guts, that's my ultimate favorite.
And this is Jenna. I have to say, for me, it's a little bit of everything. I like the psychological part of it when you get a character who's in your face who's just trying to screw with your mind and your emotions and your like your feelings and your thoughts. That kind of gets to me. I like seeing the visual, but I like the whole aspect of hearing, feeling, touching, and seeing the whole bringing it to life and really getting into your head.
And that's why we work good together.
Heck yeah.
Sounds like it. Carter, you design haunts around the country. Is there any particular one that really just gets you excited about working on it, or?
Well, obviously, I always try to infuse my own personality just by the nature of design and how that works. But what I generally get the most, what I find turns out the best for me that I love every time is more realistic themes, things that are more tangible to the everyday person. So just like she was mentioning, a hospital or things that places that people could actually go. But as far as an antagonist design, I tend to lean a little bit more towards almost an ethereal. I've done Poltergeist and that's cool, but it's kind of hard to carry that through a whole haunt. I kind of almost like a, you know, how your Jason or whoever, not Jason, but how they're just always where you don't want them to be. They somehow are faster than you and smarter than you every single time. I like that aspect infusing that aspect into whatever antagonist character that's created. And a lot of times I use illusions and things that magicians would use in order to achieve those effects in real time. And basically any way I can make a person feel like as if they're in a movie, and that really takes extracting the customer as far from reality as I can. That seems to work the best and just makes me, I just love the absolute fear on their faces. When you really, truly scare that full-grown man, it just makes me so happy.
So far, these are all great answers, and I'm loving hearing the different ideas. And let's wrap it up with you, Sean. How about you? What's your favorite type of subgenre?
I don't know. Everybody on this conference call can probably agree that you could be looking at the cheap tomatoes at Walmart and get an idea for a room. I'm very fortunate that I've got a house full of badasses that just come up with some of the craziest ideas. Me personally, a Lizzie Borden type room has been floating in my head for a long time, but it's got to be different. It's got to be something people aren't expecting. There was a movie that Dee Snider did. There's an 80s hairband plug for you. Called Strangeland, and that has that's got, there's something up in my head that just hasn't come out yet to go along with that in this house. But it's just something, you know, you're out there, whether it be a movie, a book, a magazine, talking with another haunt or being at their haunt, you see it, you want it, you want to make it your own, and you got to push the envelope, and just to the point where you want to make sure it's safe, but the person going through the room thinks that they're in deep trouble, and you've been pretty successful at doing that.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I look at the clock on the wall, and it is time we start winding this down. I do want to ask you one quick question for all of our guests. Being that you do change your themes around on a fairly regular basis, do you see a trend for the next couple of years? You know, a few years ago, everybody was vampires, and now zombies are the big thing now. Everybody's zombie this, zombie that, paintball, whatever. Your personal opinions, do you know or have an idea what you think the next big trend will be in the next, say, 2, 3, 5 years? Will it be this or will it be that? Ladies first.
Ladies first. Well, in the Wisconsin area, I think that the whole Slender Man thing is going to start to take a toll and people are going to start using that character. But we were talking and we're thinking possibly in the next couple of years, it's going to go backwards. It's going to go retro. All the old movies, bring back the old themes, the Draculas, the Frankensteins, things like that. That's what we were kind of talking and possibly thinking.
Interesting. Go back Slender to the
Man,
Universal.
That's one I'm not familiar with.
Oh, look it up. It's terrifying.
It can't be any worse than you dressed up at MHC.
No. No.
No way.
But there was a guy.
That was scary enough as it was.
There was a guy in a morph suit dressed as Slender Man last year at MHC. I do remember that.
Badger refusing to come out of character. That was.
Hey, good.
Kind of like when two guys hugged.
No wonder the beer total at the bar was so high.
Good actors stay in character. How about you, Eric? Where do you see either your theming or what's going to be big in haunted houses in the next couple of years?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's really hard for me to tell. Like, obviously, you mentioned out zombies seem to be the big thing this year. Even though we do touch on it a little bit in our haunt, we don't dwell too much in it. But it's just really hard to say what's going to be in the future. It seems like some of these movies that are coming out, like I forget the name of them right now, but they just wear they wear fake masks and just hoods over their heads and, you know, cut smiley faces on them. I'm seeing some of those movies, you know, pop out now, and those seem to be doing pretty good. But who knows what I personally wouldn't know, but the ladies had a good point. They could be going backwards, and they could bring back some of the old werewolf and Frankenstein stuff, you know, so.
Sean, are you influenced by today's pop culture, or are you you worried about being trendy and doing what's hot, or where do you see things going in the next few years?
A little bit of both. I mean, if something's out there, you know, we're definitely going to jump on it and ride those coattails a little bit. Funny how this industry may dictate what is the next big thing. But I think expectations are just getting higher by the patrons. Something we did five years ago would never fly now. You know, it's just so you just got to keep up with what those expectations are. And that's tough, but doable.
Well, I will say you are the only haunted house I've ever been to that had a functional boat and lake inside a building. So I still think that that would work today, even though you haven't had it in a few years.
Well, yeah, well, it seems like it might have taken that long to work the freaking bugs out of it, but we got it fixed.
It was very effective, and people in the boat were absolutely terrified.
Thank you.
But again, any final questions for our guests from the hosts? And I will take that to mean no, so we're going to go ahead and try to wrap this up. I want to thank all of our guests. This is the part of the show that we affectionately call The Plugs. We'll start with Eric, because you're way out on the West Coast. Websites and social media where people can get more information on Demon Dreams out there in Fairfield, California?
Yeah, that's correct. Come check out our website. We also are on Twitter, Instagram. That's Demon Dreams. That's Dreams with a Z at the end. Look us up on Facebook, like us, and follow us throughout the year and see what we're up to.
Delightfully 80s with a Z at the end. You got to love it. Sean, how about Wells Township? What's all the social media plugs you want to give us?
It's everywhere. We Wells Township HauntedHouse.com. You can get connected to us from there to all of our social media.
Very good. Last but not least, ladies, how about Dominion of Terror? How can people get more information?
All right. About our 40th annual nightmare, we have DominionofTerror.com, but we have all the social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and even a Google Plus page.
Ooh.
I know, very nice. Fancy.
And, of course, not a haunt owner, but very important to this conversation. Carter Owen, I know you've got a company out there, and how about giving yourself a chance to plug it?
Well, I'm going to plug an email. I literally just took down everything just before you asked me to do this conference in my retooling. But I'll throw out my email for any haunt design consultation. I'm an on-site builder as well. Just contact me at CarterOwen@CLTPlus.com. That's CarterOwen@CLTPLUS.com.
Excellent. Are you bringing back the Killed Productions, or are you going to retheme that to a new company?
I have decided to go with a different name, the whole thing. I'm ripping it all down. I have some financiers that have asked me to go ahead and try to summarize all of my entities into one piece for their sanity, I believe.
Oh, good luck. There's a lot of them there.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you once again to our guests. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank our four hosts, including Storm.
Living the dream, one day Badger and I will make our Amish haunt, and all the decisions will be made by a magic 8-ball.
Damn right, Jeff Dias, House of Doom. The unknown scare actor.
You know, that disturbs me so much that I'm standing here with a pair of dental forceps, and I'm going to start pulling my own teeth out.
Nice. The Hauntster medalist, Jerry Vane.
I'm dancing with a pair of scissors and guitar strings around my ears.
Answer Hazy. Ask again later.
And on that note, my name is Drew Badger down in Charlotte, North Carolina. I just want to say rest in peace, Jackie Cooling. You are very much missed. And to our friend Rebecca, stay strong. We're thinking about you. Once again, this is the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. Don't you go away.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here, live MonsterCon Greenville, South Carolina, chatting with everybody. And, you know, as we like to do when we start having things winding down a little bit, we try to grab one of the organizers if we can and kind of get a little wrap-up, so to speak, for MonsterCon 2014. Mr. Dave Harlequin, been on our show more than once. Dave, you look a little peaked, a little tired. I don't even want to know where Shane, the other owner organizer, is, because he's probably passed out in a pile of his own something or other body fluids because of all the great preparations you've done. It looks like it's been a successful show. Has it been a successful show?
Oh, yeah. It's been amazing, dude. We pretty much doubled our attendance from last year. At least that's what they told me up at registration. I haven't looked at the numbers, but they said we better than doubled it. So, you know, everybody's having a good time. People are having fun. It's been an awesome show.
I don't even know what peakish means because I'm not like an English major, but I do know that I am very, very tired.
Peakish means tired in this case.
Oh, then yes, peakish as hell.
So the show floor, you actually moved it from upstairs in the arena, surrounding the, shall we say, court, I guess, to actually putting everything down here. It looked like you've effectively like tripled your vendor space, and looks like all the vendors were doing well. You know, we had a lot of people coming up talking to our booth, getting information and stuff, and looks like other vendors were making great sales, and others were, you know, entertaining and selling and all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah, man. That was like half my idea, half Shane's idea, like most everything at MonsterCon. Last year, we got into the arena so late that we weren't able to, you know, pick up their basketball courts. So sure. All they had was like the little padding that covers them. So, you know, they wouldn't let us set up vendor booths. But it was a last-second venue change. There was all that. This year, we had a full year to prep it. And you're right, we did. We tripled our vending. We had just operationally and logistically, it was 20 to 200 times better than last year. I didn't feel like clawing my beard out. But this year, you know, everything ran smooth. Everybody had a good time. All the vendors did some good sales. And everybody seems really happy, man. And if they're happy, I'm happy.
How about the celebrities? You went from maybe 6 or 7 last year to, well, at least effectively doubled that this year. The quality is great. You had, like, Ari Lehman. You had Naomi Grossman. You had Butch Patrick, Pat Priest, Doug Jones, among many others. A few cancellations, but, you know, you get that with every con. But overall, how did these celebrities do?
As far as I know, as far as what they've told me, all the celebrities have done great. I'm pretty sure everybody met their guarantees. So, you know, and all the fans really loved them, and they seem to really enjoy the fans, too. And, yeah, I mean, it's, what can I say? It's all been a huge success.
Well, what you can say is MonsterCon coming back here at Tillman Arena on the campus of Furman University in 2015? Maybe looking for a larger venue? What's going to happen in 2015?
I can absolutely say we will be back for Timmins Arena. I know for a fact that we made the rent deposit back on the very first day of the convention on Friday.
That's nice.
I believe we're at the break-even point right now, if not in the profit margin. I don't know. Again, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I know Timmins has already asked us back. We've already agreed to come back, and, you know, we're going to see what happens. We're going to fill it up just like this again, and if we need more space for, you know, more panels, more gaming, all that, then we're going to expand into the Annex Center right next door.
Oh, right. That's conveniently located, and that'd be a great place for all the gaming and everything, and leave you more room for vendors and celebrities and all that.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, we've got the full lower level full of vending and celebrities, and upstairs right now we're using some of that for panels and gaming, but we have some of the fan groups up there too. Next year we want to just fill the whole entire arena, upper and lower decks, full of vendors, and just try to move all the entertainment over to the Annex.
Nice. So if anybody might be interested in doing that or getting more information about MonsterCon 2015, if you're a potential vendor, you live in the upstate of South Carolina, maybe between Raleigh to Atlanta, Columbia, Knoxville, Chattanooga, all points southeast, everything leads down 85 or up 85 to MonsterCon. How can they get information on maybe vending for next year, some celebrities that somebody may know of, has an uncle who does this or does that or whatever? Can they contact you via how?
Really easy. Just go to www.monstercon.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. They're both the same, Facebook and Twitter /MonsterConSC.
MonsterConSC on Facebook and Twitter, MonsterCon.org. Dave Harlequin, a pleasure to have you back on The Big Scary Show. I'm sure sometime in the next few weeks to months to whatever, we will be talking about more things for 2015. Congratulations on what looks like a successful show. We've had a good time. No major hiccups, minor, other than a little rain and some kid running around poking people with lightsabers, but, you know, that happens at every con. But we digress. Once again, Drew Badger here, getting ready to head up the road home from MonsterCon, and we are out.
Do you remember your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time. It's time to face your fears.
Fear, fear, fear.
Brought to you by Dark Specter Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspecter.com. Couture for the creatures of the night. Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. And yes, I did track down the Lady of Darkness, and I did recover my recorder. And she was dealt with in the harshest way possible. But now let's talk to you haunt owners, and you actors, and you set designers. It's almost the middle of August, and you are probably, I'd say, losing your minds. Some haunts are opening as early as September 6th, and if you're not opening on the 6th, you're opening sometime in September probably, and you're still going, what am I going to do? Face my fears. It's time to face those fears. Knuckle down and get it done, because if you don't, I'm going to be making some trips this season, and I'll make you face your fears, because I am the master of phobias. Always remember one thing, Haunters. Everyone is afraid of something.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.HauntersDigest.com today. Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here live at MonsterCon here in beautiful Greenville, South Carolina, talking to all the cool folks out here. And, of course, you can't have a convention without some haunted attractions being there. Went to this one last year, had a fantastic time, shot a few zombies, went through some trails, did some really, really cool and saw some really scary stuff, and I hear they're even better than before. We're talking Mad World Haunted Attraction way down I-85 in Piedmont, South Carolina. Got one of the owners here, Mr. Joe Thompson. Joe, how you doing?
Doing fine. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Went through Mad World last year, pretty much later in the season. I'd say one of the last two weekends there. Looked like you were in fine form. The flares going up along I-85, watching the flames shoot up. Good acting group. Had a zombie shoot going on. Went out there and shot them all up and probably, hopefully, killed a few. And I think we were actually doing part of your blackout experience there, which turned out to be a really cool event.
Yeah, we did a blackout event, and it was pretty nice. Last year was a great, great season for us, our best yet. It just seems like every year is improving in attendance, which, I mean, that's what you want, of course. That's the goal. Fantastic season, couldn't ask for more. Got a good season coming this year.
I understand you about half bought out Trans World.
Yeah. Unfortunately for our pocketbooks, we did, but we got some really awesome stuff. Transworld was amazing this year. Some great vendors there. A lot of new vendors that I saw. We're utilizing a lot of that stuff as well as a lot of new construction going on at Mad World this year. So we've been working since December 13, and we got a good show going to be coming.
Anything you can reveal to us this early in the game?
Yeah, I'll throw out a few things.
Just some teasers.
Yeah, you can expect... Some hotels from hell. You can expect some asylum stuff, and also a very nasty sewer scene.
Oh, really?
And there's a lot more stuff, but I won't reveal anything else.
So will it be primarily indoor new stuff, outdoor new stuff? You kind of have a combination of both.
I'd say a combination of both, but primarily indoor.
Okay. So improve the indoor, the outdoor haunted trail areas are pretty much spooky in itself.
Absolutely. Yep. And got a lot of new grounds characters this year that'll be up in your face and good photo op time. So
excellent. Going to be shooting zombies again?
Absolutely. Yeah, we actually rethemed our haunted attractions this year with all the changes we made. Our zombie shoot is no longer a called zombie shoot. It's
okay.
Outbreak, the ultimate zombie experience.
Interesting.
The main attraction is now called Nightmares. So that's our, and it's up to a 35 to 40 minute hunt.
Excellent. And for anybody wanting information on Mad World, they're driving down 85 and they see these giant plumes of flame shooting up in the area and saying, well, if I stopped there, what would I see? But how can they get information, you know, via websites and social medias?
Absolutely. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram and all the other social media. But the main thing is our website. You can go to our website at madworldhunt.com. That's madworldhunt.com.
So everything Mad World, madworldhunt.com. Joe Thompson, it's a pleasure to have you here. I wish you nothing but success again for 2014. I had a great time in 13. Chances are I may show up at your door unannounced again,
and we'll
see what happens there at Mad World. But we're at MonsterCon, and we are out.
Throne of Anguish, Cathedral Shadow, on the Big Scary Show.
One-size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scared.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
Everyone, Drew Badger here live, MonsterCon Greenville, South Carolina, talking with everybody under the sun that we can get our hands on. We've talked to this gentleman before, has a great little convention in the middle of the winter when, of course, we need it most, called Connuga out in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Also runs the Ruby Falls Haunted Caverns around October-esque. Mr. Todd Patton, how you doing, sir?
Doing great. Good to see you again.
Great to see you as well. How was the Haunted Caverns this past season?
Man, we had a great year. A lot of new things, which we're probably one of the only haunts that I know of in the area that actually changes our theme every year. So we re-theme from top to bottom.
And the, I guess, the logistics of doing this hundreds of feet underground inside the a mountain itself has got to be just, difficult at best.
Difficult is the build, because you got natural walls that are rock that you have to build around, and then you have 100% humidity, so our electronics usually fail after about 2 years of being down there.
Always fun to put on a haunted house inside actual caverns, so nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, the setting itself has got to be just perfect.
The setting is amazing, and then when you add some good actors into it, and then you got the like I said, just the fact that we're taking you 26 stories underground, and people don't realize that until they get in that elevator and watch that rock wall drop down for 2,600 feet. You're sitting there going, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, it is. And the thing is, it's cool. Well, unlike most caves, there's a big echo, but with the way this cave is and the humidity, the sound does not carry more than maybe 20, 30 feet.
So. Oh, very nice. Have you ever just, screwed with the customers and just hit, the master switch and all the lights went off?
Actually, a customer has hit our master switch. Ooh. On accident, ran into it and shut down the whole show, and we had to run down and turn it all back on. But the way we do it every year anyway is most of our patrons get a glow stick. So that way, basically, it makes them a target, but it also, that's the only light source they get. We light up a couple areas, but the rest of the way, they're just using a glow stick, and makes them perfect targets for our actors.
I like that. That would just be awesome itself. Let's touch a little bit about Connuga. It's very similar to MonsterCon, as that is a multi-fandom convention, but you do have a nice little horror element in that.
Yes, we do. We're trying to expand on that a little bit more. We're working with some guests next year that'll bring that in. My team's actually starting to do a little more workshops and things like that. We've been so busy because most of my team runs the show, so it's kind of hard. But now we're trying to, now that we got it kind of perfected after 9 years, took 9 years to do it. But we're trying to do a little more. But we cover everything from anime to horror to fantasy to sci-fi. So a lot of stuff.
Any confirmed guests you can mention at this time?
Right now, Timothy Zahn is definitely locked in, along with a few others that I really can't mention because they're kind of inks trying to dry on everything. Ari and I have been talking a lot this weekend, and possibly Doug Jones. So, I mean, we got those. And then, of course, all the Walking Dead guys will be back, like Savannah and Michael Kosky. And I think we got Wallace coming this year, too. So.
Excellent. So for people wanting some information, if you're going to be in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area, right there off of, what is it, I-59 or something?
I-40.
I-40 and
yep.
All.
Yep, I-24. So, in 75. So
right between Knoxville and Atlanta, basically.
Exactly. We're crammed in between Nashville, Knoxville, and Atlanta. So, it's right there off of I-24, 75, February 27th, 28th, and March 1st of 2015.
And what would the websites and various social media sites for the Haunted Caverns and Connuga be?
Connuga, www.connuga.com, and Haunted Cavern is hauntedcavern.com.
So everything Haunted Cavern and everything Connuga, go to those various sites and everything will be revealed to you. Todd Patton, a pleasure to have you here on The Big Scary Show at MonsterCon, and we are out.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at hauntminute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, unknownscareactor.com. The Hauntster Medalist, Jerry Vane, Pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at jerryvane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. News@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at TheBigScaryShow. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.